I'm on. Yeah, good morning. I pray we have to put up a lot of chairs tonight. Okay, and that comes down to, yes, we pray about it, but we do it too. I was buying some snacks and drinks for the kids, you know, the younger people for today. I was out buying it yesterday. Megan and I came and got things together and set up. But I was checking out. The lady said, "Somebody likes snacks." And I said, "Hey, we're feeding a bunch of young people coming to the church." She goes, "What are they coming for?" Oh, that was a good open door. So I invited her. I hope she comes. Told her why they were coming to encounter Jesus. So it's good to talk and pray about it. It's important. We need to. But we have to do the action parts too. I know by God's grace here we get to hear some wonderful teachings of the Word of God and have the opportunity. But it's what we do with it. Do we just hear it, and as Mark prayed, just kind of parrot it on, or do we allow it to come in and become part of the fabric of our lives? So I pray today, and when you go back out, you're not going to worry about it's, look, it's, yeah, it's a little slippery out there. Okay, I trust God will make a way. Parking, you know, it'll be available. He'll make a way. If you need to hop rides with somebody, talk to each other. We can get rides. We can work that stuff out. Don't let anything hold you back from not just you coming and encountering Jesus, because most of you have encountered Jesus, but we can encounter him again. Last year, there was a lot of people here that were Christians already, but we had a wonderful time encountering Jesus in a special way. But we want people that don't know Christ to encounter him too. That's the main thrust. That's the main thrust. So bring them. Bring them. Even today, you might see somebody today say, "Come tonight." But come on back and continue to pray. Do you want to hear a little bit from God's word? Do you? Okay. Father, bless your word to our hearts as we hear it. Let us receive it. Let these lips speak what you would have them say. And let our ears be open to your word and our hearts prepared to receive it, bear fruit, to not only be built up, but to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you remember what the message was last week? That's the same response I got in New Jersey. Crickets. And then somebody said, "Oh, the time, redeeming the time." I said, "Yes." I hope they didn't do this first. Let me go on the app and see what it was. Yeah. I don't take offense because I know that sometimes we don't always recall right away. If we take time to think about it, we do. And that's why we have to be reminded and hear things over and over again. But it was from Ephesians. And as I was preparing that message and as I was actually sharing it with us last week, I knew that we were going to spend time in this chapter for a lot of in this book for a lot of reasons. We need to be taught on a regular basis. We need to be reminded of things that we know that sometimes maybe we forget or forget to do. We need to recognize that God's word is given to us and all of it is for us. And Paul wrote this epistle to this church in Ephesus, and he didn't write it necessarily to address problems like some of the other epistles. They were called to address certain problems, but it was written to explain some of the amazing great doctrines and themes of Christianity, but also to show it in a practical sense too. I didn't do this exercise, and maybe you might want to. But I can pretty much guess what the answer will be just by experience. If you were to search teaching and or sermons and messages on the book of Ephesians or the epistle to the Ephesians, more than likely you're going to find something from chapters 4, 5, and 6. More than likely. We sometimes like to approach God's word and say, "Oh, I love this part about putting on that armor." And yes, it's important. We need to. "I love this part. It says, submit to me, woman." Yeah, that's chapter 5, chapter 6. You know, I love this other part that tells this and that, and I can tell other people. And you know, and that's okay. It's God's word, and we do need that part. We need chapters 4, 5, and 6. But so many times we forget about chapters 1 through 3. I've always endeavored to give the full counsel of God's word. We need it all. It's good to know about those other things, and they're needful and they're important, but we need to know why. Why do I have to walk a certain way, talk a certain way? Why do I have to forget about my former life and take off and put on? Why do I do those things? So we need to go through it all and see it all. It's a wonderful epistle to do that. Some have called it, this epistle, the quintessence of Paulism. That's not my words. Some call it the queen of epistles, the crown of Paulism. I just know it's God's word. And it does cover the doctrinal, wonderful themes, some of which you find here even for the first time, some you don't find anywhere else, and you find out what it means to us and why we should now live a different way. Because it's easy to tell us, do this, and do that, but wait a minute, no, why? You know, the first chapter, which we're going to cover parts of it today, there's wonderful doctrines of the gospel. We're going to talk about our experience then as Christians. And then it's going to tell you these wonderful precepts of the faith and how to walk in these wonderful instructional parts of God's word. You may have read this epistle before. You may have also read the epistle to the Colossian church. Very similar. Interesting. Paul wrote both of them from prison. Interesting. But to sum up the overall grand theme of the book of Ephesians in a way of the reason behind it, I'm going to quote from another scripture that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. He says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." You're going to find so much of these themes in the epistle to the Ephesian church. The revelation that God wants us to have. You know, I've said it many times before. I kind of always chuckle about theology. Not that it's a bad word by any means. But theology means the study of God. I chuckle because we can't study God. He's unknowable. But God has revealed himself to us. So we can study what God has revealed to us. The things that he has revealed beautiful, wonderful things about himself through his word, and he's given us the Holy Spirit that we might understand these things and the power to live them out. So Paul, verse 1, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and if you will bear with me, let's read the first 14 verses together. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And then he goes on to pray. We'll get to that later. I doubt we'll get to this whole chapter today, but we are that whole 14 verses, but we'll do our best. Paul, an apostle. By the will of God, apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. It's interesting that some Bible commentators, because a few manuscripts don't have Ephesus in it, They don't have the word Ephesus there, the city of Ephesus there. So they believe, oh, he didn't really write this to the Ephesian church. It was just like a general epistle. I don't know anything about that, quite frankly. I believe that it would make sense that it was written to the Ephesian church. But here's the point that I want to make about that. If it is, and if there was in the original, the blank and the Ephesians not there, that first of all doesn't change the importance of this epistle. But it also tells us something else, that regardless of whether or not this epistle was directly written to the by the Holy Spirit through Paul to the Ephesian church, it was written to us today. So you put yourself in the blank. We can say with all the other saints of God that this was written to the saints who are in Philadelphia, to the saints that are gathered together at 11th and Mifflin, to the saints of Jesus Christ, the faithful in Jesus Christ. This is our letter, there's no doubt, because it's the word of God and it's ours. You know, if you have this letter and you look at this letter and you understand this letter a little bit more, you're going to understand why this particular part of this that I made a title and I call this title, you know, the eternal plan of the triune God. Because it is a plan. And it's a beautiful plan. It's a wonderful plan. And it's a plan that God had given, actually, if you will, began within himself before he even created us. It's an eternal plan. And it's an eternal plan for us to be together with God. I don't really understand that. I really don't. I believe it. I accept it. But I don't understand that, how God would want to spend eternity with me. Because there are many days that I don't want to spend time with me. And not to be offensive, but there's many times that I don't want to spend time with anybody else. But God wants to spend eternity with us. With you, with me. Why? I don't know. But he does. And he had a plan in place. We're going to find out even before he made creation. So the apostle starts out in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. The triune God, you say, ooh, what's that mean? We got three gods that we worship? No. How many gods do we worship? One. But God has expressed himself. God has shown himself in how many persons? And they are what? Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You will see all mentioned in these 14 verses. You did see all three mentioned in these 14 verses. We're probably not going to get past the part of the working of the Father in this beautiful plan. This is the plan of God, the plan of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is the plan of God, who loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And it's the Holy Spirit who continually points us to the one who did all this for us so that we can have these amazing heavenly blessings he talks about in this verse. We are blessed. We are blessed. We're blessed with heavenly blessings. But because we are blessed with heavenly blessings, you know what you and I should be doing? Blessing God. Yeah, bless others too, but blessing God first. We need to bless him. We need to bless him. We need the idea behind this term blessed here is praised in God. Praise with worshipful love. To praise him. Worship him. To allow the praise to come from us and be more than just with our lips. but with our being, with every part of our body, our lives should be an act of worship to God, to bless him with praise and to bless him with worship, to bless him with the love that we can because he has blessed us so amazingly. So amazingly has he blessed us. God's resources are ours. You know, Charles Spurgeon wrote, he has blessed us, meaning God, and therefore we will bless him. If you think little of what God has done for you, you will do very little for him. But if you have a great notion of his great mercy to you, you will be greatly grateful to your gracious God. Jesus said it this way in response to the Pharisee who got offended because the woman came and washed Jesus' feet. Oh, if she knew what kind of sinner she was, he would, you know, recoil from her. He wouldn't let her do this. And Jesus said, wherefore I say to you, her sins, meaning that woman, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Well, I want to remind you of something. Regardless of what you may think of yourself, your sins were not little. They were not. You say, no, no, you don't understand. Pastor Joe, my sins were not like that one over there. Oh, their sins, oh, they're piled up so high you can't even see the top of it. And so are yours. They may look different. And maybe your sins are fewer, but they're bigger. Because that one's a big one of pride that I'm better than somebody else. Oh, God must have, you know, he saved me, but he only had to get, you know, a couple things out of the way that I wasn't doing right. This one has, look, a mountain full of sins. Oh, no, your pride was bigger than all that mountain full of sins. So when the Lord saved you from that, he saved you much. Amen. And because he saved us much, saved us from our great sins in number and also in size, we should praise him all the more. Because we have been forgiven so much. You know, and little words also mean a lot in Scripture. Sometimes, even if you're not a speed reader, you pass the little words. But in Scripture, everything's there for a purpose. Paul did not say by the Holy Spirit about God blessing him, though he was blessed by God. He says God blesses us. Us. Paul, the Ephesians, both the Jew and the Gentiles that became in Christ. See, because the Gentiles had this, I mean, the Jews had this idea that they were, you know, the recipients of God's, you know, blessing and everything else. That we're God's people. We kind of deserve this, everything. And you Gentiles, I'm not still sure about you. But Paul says, no. He blessed all of us, Jew and Gentile. Whoever's in Christ, he's blessed us with amazing blessings. And the first started when? He saved us. And then there's so much more. So praise him, worship him with everything you have. Every spiritual blessing has been given to us. You know, how many of us here today, and I say this not rhetorically, I would like to see a show of hands. This also makes sure that you're still listening, you're not sleeping, okay? How many of you have received a blessing from God in the fleshly realm, the temporal realm? Finance, health, something, provision, right? Praise God for them. Amen? Amen. How many of you received multiple blessings in those areas from God? And they're nothing to be sneered at, shamed about. We should thank him for it, praise him for it, because he's worthy of all praise. But in my mind, they pale in comparative to the spiritual blessings that he has for us that we don't many times even see or appreciate. And you know what? They're not only there now, but these are blessings that await us in heaven that we haven't seen them yet. There's blessings that are untold. And he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Yeah, he takes care of all your needs now. He's a great provider. He is a great God who supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise you, God. But they're spiritual blessings, and I don't want us to miss them, nor overlook them, nor take them for granted. Because they're so great. They're greater than any material blessing. And they're ours. You know, Jesus said, don't store up your treasures here on earth where they can, like, wear away and get corroded and, wear out and get stolen even. He said, store up your treasures in heaven where they can never get corroded or stolen or taken away, all right? He said, because where your treasure are is what's going to be there? Your heart. I want our hearts to thank him and praise him for those temporal, physical blessings that we receive now. But I want to also make sure we praise him and glorify him for all the spiritual blessings, not only now, but what awaits us in eternity. Because there's amazing blessings for us. And I'm disappointed because not one person said amen. Okay, that was weak too. Oh, there's great blessings that wait for us in heaven. Oh, thank you. I know you're pacing yourself for tonight. I get it. I know. I don't want to get too much. I have only so much energy. No. God will give you the praise. God will give you the glory. I mean, the ability to praise him all day long. When I hear about spiritual blessings versus the physical blessings, the temporal blessings, the here and now blessings, again, which are important, I always think of those two Old Testament characters called Esau and Jacob. Anybody know about those two? Did you ever read anything about them? Some of you may know more about them than others, but they were two brothers. And I've always maintained, and I talked about it, I think, this week, either Thursday night or Tuesday, and I can remember whenever. Oh, we didn't have Tuesday this week, do we? So just put it as Thursday, so I must have mentioned it. But anyway, I talked about it recently, that if I was either transported back into that time or the brothers were transported in this time and I met the two without knowing much anything else about them except what I read about them in Scripture and I had to hang out with one of them, I'd probably choose Esau. Because Esau just seems like a regular guy you can kind of hang out with and you kind of understand where he's coming from. Like, he's the kind of guy that he shoots straight. You get him. Even if he doesn't always rub you the right way, you get it. You get Esau. He says what he says, means what he means. He's very just there, kind of more down to earth. Whereas Jacob is a guy that you always had to watch. You had to watch your back. Like, if he's going to hug you, you're waiting for the knife to get put in. You know, if he's talking to you about something, you're waiting for, what's the catch, Jacob? What's the deal? How are you trying to get something from me? How are you trying to pick my pockets or trying to trip me up somehow? That's Jacob. Both of them were not really good guys. But Esau was the kind of guy I could kind of, hang out with more, I think. But you know what the Bible says? That God, looking at the two brothers, says, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Wait, God, are you not a judge of character like I am? No, because God is trying to explain something to us there. Esau cared nothing about the spiritual blessings of God. Nothing. He didn't really care about the things of God at all. Esau only wanted to be blessed in the here and now. What good is my birthright when I'm starving? I want a bowl of food, or I want a bowl of lentils. That's what he wanted. That's all I want. I want that now. Who cares about this? The blessings? Give me what I need right now, God. That's all I want. Just take care of me, God, because I'm a needy person and I got a lot of needs. And God, I just want you to supply all my needs right now, anytime I ask. That's what I want from you, God. I don't really care about that other stuff. Whereas Jacob, with all his faults, and he was a bad guy, he did care about the spiritual blessings. In fact, when the birthright, which was already prophesied, was going to go to the younger, which was Jacob. They were twins, but he came out first. When it went to the younger, to Jacob, which God had said it was going to happen to, Esau cried later when he knew that his father had given it to Jacob. But Esau cried just because of what he lost out in the here and now. He didn't care about the heavenly blessings. I want us to care about the heavenly blessings. I want us to look for the heavenly blessings. I want us to store up those heavenly blessings. I want us to shout and praise God for the heavenly blessings which are in Christ Jesus, that are ours. And there are many. And you may say to me, what are those spiritual blessings? Next week. Come back. Bring somebody else next week. You'll hear more about it. We're not going to get there this week. Spiritual blessings in Christ that are ours, chosen by God. It's certain that God chose us and chose us to have the possession of spiritual blessings. And he chose us and to give us those blessings before he created the world And listen, in no way will I ever, by God's grace, ever want to diminish anything that the Scripture says. I don't want to diminish anything what Paul is writing here. And I want to say clearly that believers, yes, we are chosen by God. And yes, we are predestined by God. And the great light of this truth is given to us, not though to cast any shadows of doubt, but to show us clearly what God means by this. And let me explain further. God's election and selection of us is important, but the reason that it's given here by the Holy Spirit through Paul is not to give us an understanding just about election, it's to clearly show us the assurance of our election and the blessings that have come our way. That's his purpose here. And it's not in any way, shape, or form trying to tell us about election while at the same time disregarding human responsibility. Because both are in Scripture. And the election of God's people also comes along with the responsibility of God's people. And the two of them run together in Scripture. And whether you're not, you know, this is that whole idea of people that want to talk about ad nauseum many times, to the point of dividing even churches. Oh, the election of God or the free will of man. And they get into these debates, even to the point of divide. Watch it. It happened in this church several years ago. There were some that came in and they caused a division in the church because of that. And because they were so much in the one camp, you know, screaming. And anybody who didn't think the same way they did, they would demean them. And I heard some of the comments. It was terrible. And if it wasn't the comments outright, it was the attitude, you know? But I want to hear to tell you that, yes, we are predestined by God, but that in no way negates the responsibility nor the free will of man. In fact, they run together in Scripture. I have maintained that for years and years and years. You'll find both in Scripture. We're chosen in him. Amen. But for whosoever wills is also there also. See, I talk about attitude and division. I don't want to spend too much time on this because this is really not what Paul is trying to bring here, and I'll get to that in about 2 minutes here. But I just want to say this, that, for example, when a lot of that was going on, I really wanted to sharpen myself up about this whole idea of election and free will and that whole bit. And it was, you know, reading again things that I'd read many times and already had come to my conclusions about it. But I went again, and I came across a site. And this website, I think it was the title of the website. If not, it was bold in the first page. It was, Charles Spurgeon is a Calvinist. And I went, that's interesting, because I like Spurgeon, and I like a lot of his, you know, teachings. I've read much of the sermons, many of his sermons, and, you know, I use his quotes quite often, as you guys can tell. I use it quite often. And I said, huh. And as I began to read through the site, it was kind of a little mean-spirited, but it was also only coming from its own point of view. So as I'm reading these quotes, I'm saying, but wait a minute. I've read a lot of other quotes where he talks about the free will of man. So I came across this quote, which I just only say this to us to help us to understand this. He was asked one time, Spurgeon, about free will and election. And you know what he said? He said, free will and election are like two parallel lines that don't ever seem to touch. But he said, if you follow them enough, all the way up to heaven, they do meet each other there. In other words, we don't necessarily understand all of God's ways and how two things that seemingly in our minds are opposed to each other are not opposed at all. They somehow work together because God's ways are far above our ways. His thoughts are way above our thoughts. And when somebody pressed him apparently in this and they asked him, said, how do you then reconcile free will and election? He said, you don't have to reconcile, friends. And we don't. Because they're both there. And we can praise God because he has elected you and predestinated you, but he's given you a free will. Praise him for it. The point is, when he has saved you, walk now in his blessings. Be blessed and walk in those blessings and walk in worthy of this high calling that we have as children of the Most High God. So again, the Holy Spirit did not, through Paul, put this in here about predestination so Paul can write to us all this way and say, here it is, here is the whole treatise on, you know, predestination, the end of the debate, mic drop, over. No! You know why it's in here? Not for that purpose, but to show us the beautiful, wonderful plan of God towards us. And in that plan, if God has elected us, which he has, and God has predestinated us, which he has, then you know what? You are in his hands and his will be done through your life. You don't have to worry about it ever falling away. Praise him for it. Stand in it. You're his. You're his. He chose you before the foundation of the world. I don't understand it, but thank him for it. And it's glorious. And you know why he chose you, it says here? In love. Not because you were worthy. That's where sometimes the election people get way out of bounds. I am the elect. Okay, you want a badge? You want a little... You're not worthy. He chose you before you did anything, before you knew anything, before you were anything, good or bad. I don't get it. But you're not superior. And if you haven't yet come to Christ, you don't have to worry about, am I chosen? No, just come as you are. Just come, because whosoever wills come will come and he'll receive you. He promised to do that. Come just as you are to him, because you were predestined to be adoption. To be adopted by Jesus Christ himself. Adopted into his family. Because you know why? You and I, because of our sin, were outside of the family of God, but he had predestined us to become part of the family of God. Again, both Jew and Gentile. Wow. You know, under Roman law, when a man would adopt a child, when that adoption was complete, that person that was adopted became a complete part of that family. Every rights that the natural children had, right, were the adopted child's also. Every right. And not only that, every part of his relationship prior to being adopted, his other family, his obligations, his ties to them, whatever they may be, all of those were lost when he was adopted into the new family. It is, as it actually was, that person, upon the completion of their adoption, was a new person. Completely new person. All the former things were gone away. Does that sound familiar? Because if you and I are in Christ, we are a new creation. The former things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me, and we are now the child of the Most High God. Isn't that beautiful? But I want to remind you of something else that's even, I think, adds another beautiful layer to this. Not only are you and I adopted in this family, you know why? Because we're outside. We're lost and undone. We're outside of the family of God, but we're adopted in the family. But you notice how the terms that are used of how we are adopted in this family? We're also born again. It's both ways. There's the legal part, and then there's that part that we're just born fresh, new creatures into the kingdom of God. That's something, by the way, that was greater than Adam had in his creation. Being redeemed, being adopted into the family of God. Because Adam was created without sin till he fell. We're born into sin. And God loved us so much that he adopts us in spite of our sin into his family. But he does so by what? Washing us with his precious blood. We're born into the family of God. The actual word in the Greek says this, it's called son place. I love that word because it means we're placed into the family of God by the new birth. I look at the clock and I know they're coming and we got to finish up and we got to close out. And I'm thinking, wait, I only got to the Father. I didn't get to the Son and the Holy Spirit yet. That's why you got to come back next week and then we'll hear more about the gifts of God. But listen, what do we do with what we heard so far? What do we do with this? You know, one of the things is that it says here that we need to understand not only who we are in Christ, but what we need to do in response to that. And one of the first things that you and I need to do is understand that you and I have no business being in the family of God, but except for his love and his calling to us and his election of us, he has brought us into that family and he has forgiven us many sins. And because of that, we need to rejoice and praise him. And then you and I, because of that in response, have to now live our lives in a way to bless and thank him for that, not only with our lips, but with our lives. And we, along with what the apostle said in Romans chapter 12, you and I need to become what? Living sacrifices. dead to our former life, now alive unto God. For you and I not to be conformed to this world anymore, but through understanding God's love and his grace and his election for us, understanding God's special spiritual gifts towards us, understanding what God does required of us that we want to do now because of the great love that he has for us and now we have for him, that we now want to walk worthy. Walk worthy of this high calling to praise and bless our Father who alone is worthy of all praise. I hope this just does enough today in the short time we had together to remind you of who you are in Christ and what he's done for you. And if you're not yet in Christ, know this much. He wants you to be. He's calling you to be. He died for you to come to him just as you are in your sins, to be washed and to be cleansed and to inherit these wonderful spiritual blessings that are in him. Father, thank you today for this your word, to understand in a greater way the love of the Father towards us. That truly you, Lord, loved us so much that you gave your Son, the only begotten of the Father, you gave your Son to us to do what no one else could do. And in your love, you gave him to us that he, Lord God, would take our sins upon himself, take the penalty of that sin instead of us, and to die and to shed his blood, that we who hear the gospel, who recognize the greatness of our sin, to recognize the greatness of his grace bestowed towards us, can turn from our sin and wicked way and turn to the Father and to the Son in faith and say, come into my life, Jesus, wash my sin away. Cleanse me by your precious blood. I don't deserve it, but I heard your offer. And I don't know all that stuff about election or anything else, but I just know that I want to come. And I heard you say that whoever will come. And whoever calls upon your name shall be saved. So, Lord, I'm calling right now. I'm coming, repenting of my sin, turning away from it, and turning to you and your forgiveness alone, that I be washed and cleansed of my great sin. And now help me each day to know that I am yours as your Holy Spirit comes to live within me and seals me to that day that I come to see you face to face. Help me now to live for you and to praise you with all of my life and to tell others about you. Lord, we love you. We pray for anyone here today who was just reminded of their position in Christ, that they've been walking with you for 30 years and forgotten what great grace you've bestowed to them. Now I pray that reminder would push us to live for you more and more each day. And for those who may have even prayed just now, or for those as we share this message with others will pray, then Father, today that they would join us as adopted sons and daughters to walk in the spiritual blessings and to together bring praise and glory to our Father who loves us so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and worship one more time. Don't rush out. Listen, come back tonight. Bring people with you. Be praying. We'll see you soon.
Music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come.
Hallelujah.
Longing just to bring something that's worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within to to the way things have been. You're looking into my heart.
Let's worship him, church.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things have been. You're looking into my heart.
Let's worship him with all of our heart.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it, but it's all about you. It's all about you. All about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Peace be to the brethren. And love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. In Jesus' name, amen.